Suzanne Linder from Milton Security was dressed in jeans, a black leather jacket and running shoes. She arrived in Saltsjöbaden at 9 in the evening and Rosin showed her around the house. She had brought a green duffel bag containing her laptop, a spring baton, a mace canister, handcuffs and a toothbrush, which she unpacked in Berger's guest room. Berger made coffee.
"Thanks for the coffee. You're probably thinking of me as a guest you have to entertain. The fact is, I'm not a guest at all. I'm a necessary evil that suddenly appeared in your life, albeit just for a couple of days. I was in the police for 6 years, and I've worked at Milton for 4. I'm a trained bodyguard."
"I see.
There's a threat against you, and I'm here to be a gatekeeper, so that you can sleep in peace, or work, or read a book, or do whatever you feel like doing. If you need to talk, I'm happy to listen. Otherwise, I brought my own book."
"Understood.
What I mean is that you should go on with your life and not feel as though you need to entertain me. Then I'd just be in the way. The best thing would be for you to think of me as a temporary work colleague."
"Well, I'm certainly not used to this kind of situation.
I've had threats before when I was editor-in-chief at Millennium, but then it had to do with my work. Right now it's some seriously unpleasant individual."
"Who has a hang-up about you in particular?"
"Something along those lines.
If we have to arrange full bodyguard protection, it'll cost a lot of money. And for it to be worth the cost, there has to be a very clear and specific threat. This is just an extra job for me. I'll ask you for 500 kroner a night to sleep here the rest of the week. It's cheap and far below what I would charge if I took the job for Milton. Is that okay with you?"
"It's completely okay."
"If anything happens, I want you to lock yourself in your bedroom and let me handle the situation. Your job is to press the attack alarm. That's all. I don't want you underfoot if there's any trouble."
Berger went to bed at 11. She heard the click of the lock as she closed her bedroom door. Deep in thought, she undressed and climbed into bed. She had been told not to feel obliged to entertain her guest, but she had spent 2 hours with Linda at the kitchen table. She discovered that they got along famously. They had discussed the psychology that causes certain men to stalk women. Linda told her that she did not hold with psychological mumbo-jumbo. She thought the most important thing was simply to stop the bastards. And she enjoyed her job at Milton Security a great deal, since her assignments were largely to act as a counterforce to raging lunatics.
"So why did you resign from the police force?" Berger said.
"A better question would be, why did I become a police officer in the first place?"
"Why did you become a police officer?"
"Because when I was 17, a close friend of mine was mugged and raped in a car by 3 utter bastards. I became a police officer because I thought, rather idealistically, that the police existed to prevent crimes like that."
"Well?"
"I couldn't prevent shit. As a policewoman, I invariably arrived on the scene after a crime had been committed. I couldn't cope with the arrogant lingo on the squad, and I soon found out that some crimes are never even investigated. You're a typical example. Did you try to call the police about what happened?"
"Yes.
And did they bother to come out here?"
"Not really. I was told to file a report at the local station."
"So now you know. I work for Armansky, and I come into the picture before a crime is committed."
"Mostly concerning women who are threatened?"
"I work with all kinds of things. Security assessments, bodyguard protection, surveillance, and so on. But the work often concerns people who have been threatened. I get on considerably better at Milton than on the force, although there's a drawback."
"What's that?"
"We're only there for clients who can pay."
As she lay in bed, Berger thought about what Linda had said. Not everyone can afford security. She herself had accepted Rosin's proposal for several new doors, engineers, backup alarm systems, and everything else without blinking. The cost of all that work would be almost 50,000 kroner. But she could afford it. She pondered for a moment her suspicion that the person threatening her had something to do with SMP. Whoever it was had known that she had hurt her foot. She thought of home. She did not like him, which added to her mistrust of him, but the news that she had been injured had spread fast from the second she appeared in the newsroom on crutches. And she had the Borgsjö problem. She suddenly sat up in bed and frowned, looking around the bedroom. She wondered where she had put Cortez's file, on Borgsjö and Vitavara ink. She got up, put on her bathrobe, and leaned on a crutch. She went to her study and turned on the light. No, she had not been in her study since she had read through the file in the bath the night before. She had put it on the windowsill. She looked in the bathroom. It was not on the windowsill. She stood there for a while, worrying. She had no memory of seeing the folder that morning. She had not moved it anywhere else. She turned ice cold and spent the next 5 minutes searching the bathroom and going through the stacks of papers and newspapers in the kitchen and bedroom. In the end, she had to admit that the folder was gone. Between the time when she had stepped on the shard of glass and Rosin's arrival that morning, somebody had gone into her bathroom and taken Millennium's material about Vitivara ink. Then it occurred to her that she had other secrets in the house. She limped back to the bedroom and opened the bottom drawer of the chest by her bed. Her heart sank like a stone. Everyone has secrets. She kept hers in the chest of drawers in her bedroom. Berger did not regularly write a diary, but there were periods when she had. There were also old love letters which she had kept from her teenage years. There was an envelope with photographs that had been cool at the time, but when Berger was 25 she had been involved in Club Extreme, which arranged private dating parties for people who were into leather. There were photographs from various parties, and if she had been sober then, she would have recognised that she looked completely demented. And, most disastrous of all, there was a video taken on vacation in the early 90s, when she and Gregor had been guests of the glass artist Torkel Bollinger at his villa on the Costa del Sol. During the vacation, Berger had discovered that her husband had a definite bisexual tendency, and they had both ended up in bed with Torkel. It had been a pretty wonderful vacation. Video cameras were still a relatively new phenomenon. The movie they had playfully made was definitely not for general release. The drawer was empty. How could I have been so fucking stupid? On the bottom of the drawer, someone had spray-painted the familiar five-letter word.